discuss a minyane shofar tonight, as Rosh Hashanah is quickly approaching.
Right, well, yeah, I heard a rumor about that.
Well, you heard about it also. It must be true then, if a lot of people are hearing about it.
Right.
So the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah in two ways, a Yom Truah and a Zichron Truah. And we learn out from, even though actually the word shofar isn't directly written by Rosh Hashanah, ironically, we learn it out from Gzeirah Shava by Yovel, that it talks about shofar Truah. So it says, just like over there by Yovel of Yom Kippur, when we free the slaves, we give back the properties. Just like over there, we're talking about a shofar, and it says the word truah. We learn now from Rosh Hashanah also that it says truah. Yeah, Jeff.
Rabbi, is this the only place with the yovel that the word shofar is used in the Bible?
At least in this context, by
How do we know it means a ram's horn?
That's a separate discussion in the Gemara. I'm saying, I'm not sure if they actually show how they prove from that it's a shofar. In other words, the Gzeirah Shava, the Gemara tells us, is, and the Rambam quotes it, it says, Truah three times. Yom Truah, Zichron Truah, and Shofar Truah. So just like by Yom Kippur of Yovel, Chua means the sound of a shofar. Maybe it's just a human crying or some other crying. Therefore, I learn out shofar chua. And then the Gemara goes through the Mishnah is called, says, Koha shofar is kosher, all shofars are kosher, chutz mishel para, except from para. So then it gets into, how we learn out that even though other shofars are kosher, our meaning is the Rambam Shita is we don't paskin like it has to be from a ram. But we don't paskin, we hold it's only a lichat chila or a mitzvah min amufchar. But if someone used an antelope, in fact in South Africa, or I should say in Yemenite countries, I think it was called a Kato or something, where a horn from an antelope. And therefore, people have used that in different Yemenite communities. Our minig is that we use a rim, but that's only a minig. It's not straight halacha. And we learn, just like by the shofar trua, we learn out that we have a tradition. You need a tekiya trua tekiya. In other words, we have a tradition, you need a tekiya before and after every trua. So it says trua three times. 3 times 3 = 9. So that's the mitzvah min haTorah. The three times we have to blow shofar by Rosh Hashanah and by Yom Kippur Yovel. So that we could go into the historical development of how many shofar sounds another time. But that's where the biblical obligation starts off at 9. So the question is, what is the nature of the mitzvah of shofar? Because in fact, in the Gemara, we don't find the nusach habracha. There is no bracha in the Gemara on what to make over shofar. And in fact, that's the famous Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor, who has an interesting kiddush, that he claims that the original original tekiyas were, historically speaking, were within the davening, together with the malchios, shofros, and zichronos. And then the Gemara says they added another one, tekiyas to Meyushav, tekiyas to Mumad. So according to most Rishonim, they added the ones, the 30 before Musaf. So according to most Rishonim, it's the 30 before Musaf they added, and we do the 30 during, Chazaras Hashat. But the Baal HaMor is a different shot. He says it means the 30. He says the 30 during Musaf was the 30, but they added the 30 at the end of davening when people were leaving. So he claims, the shofar blowing we have before Musaf is post Talmud. It's a much later, institution. And he says, you know, so why did they institute it? Because the Gaonim added a lot of piyutim to davening, and davening was taking much too long. I don't know much too long, but definitely taking longer. And therefore, people couldn't stay for the whole thing. So they didn't want people who were coming early had to leave, so they wanted to have a tekiah shofar for them. And then we have the tekiah shofar for those who come late. You know, we have it. So the point of the Baal HaMor is, the reason why there's no bracha in the Gemara is because the original shofar blowing was in the Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, we have a general rule. You don't make a bracha on a bracha. The brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei served as its Birkas HaMitzvah. When we read the brachas of Malchios, Shofars, and Zichronos, that played. So therefore, the question is then, what is the bracha? But more fundamentally, what is the nature of the mitzvah? Janet's here. What is the nature?
Hi.
How's it going?
No good. Thank you for letting me on.
Sure, no problem. So the question is, what is the mitzvah of shofar? So there's only two options. Well, there could be, you know, there are always more, but there are basically two options. Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? Or is the mitzvah to hear the shofar? Or perhaps a combination of both. But we'll conclude probably it's a combination of both, but the question is, which is the primary mitzvah and which is the secondary mitzvah? Is it primary to blow it? So of course you'll say, we only have one person blowing the shofar and everyone else hearing it would seem to imply, you know, that the mitzvah is the hearing, not the blowing. However, there are other Gemaras that say that you have to be someone, you have to be obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. In other words, if I trained a monkey to blow shofar and he did a great job, better than a human, I'm not yotze. If the mitzvah is the hearing, why not? Do we see? No. It has to be someone who's a bar chiyuva. It has to be someone who's obligated in the mitzvah has to blow also. Yeah, what?
He's
a shaliach. Exactly. Yeah, okay. But the monkey can't be a shaliach. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So either way, the proofs in both directions. So what is the practical difference? Well, either way, comes Rosh Hashanah, at least on Sunday, not Shabbos, I'm gonna be in shul for the shofar, and I'm not gonna be blowing shofar. Someone else will be. So what's the bottom line? Like, what's the practical difference? What's the difference? Either way, I'm going to do this. Whatever you tell me now, I'm going to do the same thing in shul. Well, I want to know what the practical difference is, whether I say the mitzvah is blowing. If you're telling me the mitzvah is blowing, that means I have to get my own shofar now and learn how to do it and then be ready in a week from now or not. So probably the most fundamental difference would be is, what is the text of the blessing? Obviously, from the Nusach HaBracha, from the text of the blessing, we could glean what the nature of the mitzvah is. So this is a major debate between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, among others. Maimonides says, you know what the bracha is? Lishmoa kol shofar. The mitzvah, the bracha is, we make the bracha on hearing and listening to the voice of the shofar. And Rabbeinu Tam says the bracha is on tekiah shofar. So that would be one practical difference. If I hold the prime, again, you probably need both, but if you're telling me the primary mitzvah is tekiah, so that's Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. If I make the bracha on the tekiah. And if the bracha is hearing, then that would be an obvious practical difference. But within this difference, it even goes further than that. Because what's the prefix? By prefix, I mean we either do a la or an al before a bracha. So do I do al shmiya shofar? Do Do I do with Shmo HaShofar? Do I do Al Tiki HaShofar? Do I do with Ko HaShofar? In other words, how do I know? What's the rule of thumb? When do I go with Al and when do I go with La? So the Gemara in Psachim goes into detail, and the Rambam in Hilchas Brachas tells us, I think if I recall correctly, we'll see if I do, there are three basic rules he gives us. And when do we make a bracha with La, and when do we make a bracha with Al? So one issue is, when am I making the bracha? Am I breaking the bracha over Lasiyasan or La'achar Lasiyasan? Am I making the bracha am I doing the bracha first and then doing the mitzvah? Or am I doing the mitzvah first and then making the bracha? So the Rambam, based on the Gemara, says if you're making the bracha before you do the mitzvah, so it's la. But if you're making the bracha after al, like for instance, when someone converts to Judaism, they can't make the blessing before the mikveh, they're not Jewish yet. They have to, so the bracha is al tevilas ger, or al netilas shadayim. You can't make a bracha when your hands are dirty, you gotta make them after they're clean. So al is always when you're making the bracha after the mitzvah, and la is when you do the bracha first. That's one principle. The second rule is, if you're doing a mandatory mitzvah versus an optional mitzvah. If it's a mandatory mitzvah, the bracha is la, the prefix is la. And if it's optional, it's al, like al ashchita. I don't have an obligation to slaughter, but if I want to eat kosher meat, this is what I got to do. If you want to eat par of a dairy your whole life, go right ahead. But if you want to eat kosher meat, these are the directions. So therefore, it's al. So therefore, one principle is if you make the bracha before or after the mitzvah. And the second rule is it an optional mitzvah? Am I volunteering it or as the commandment indicates, God's making me do it? And number three, as one would say, it's not the 10 suggestions, it's the 10 commandments. So, category number three is, am I doing the mitzvah only for myself? If I'm doing the mitzvah solely for myself, it's la. But if I'm doing the mitzvah for everyone else, so then it's al. So those are the three principles. So comes along the commentators and say, according to the Rambam or whoever, if you hold the mitzvah is hearing the shofar like the Rambam, then you need the prefix lishmoa. And if you follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that the mitzvah is blowing, so then you need the prefix of al. Why? How do they go together? So they explain as follows, because when I say lish, so when I do al tekiya shofar, so if I'm saying the mitzvah is blowing the shofar, right? So am I blowing the shofar? So, and I'm blowing it for everybody, not just me. I'm the only one in shul blowing the shofar. So therefore, if I'm blowing it for someone else besides myself, I make the bracha al tekiya shofar, because it's not just for me. I am doing the mitzvah for others. If you're doing the mitzvahs for others, but according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah is hearing, the way we paskin is, so am I doing the mitzvah for you, or everyone's doing the mitzvah for themselves? I'm not doing that. I might be doing, the one blowing the shofar might be the Hechsher mitzvah, but if the mitzvah is hearing, every person is doing the mitzvah on their own. So therefore, I'm not doing the mitzvah for anyone else. Everyone else is doing the mitzvah for themselves. So therefore, the prefix is la. So if I'm doing it for others, it's al. If I'm doing it just for myself, so therefore, according to the Rambam, the text is lishmoa kol shofar. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's al tekiya shofar. So that's one or two practical differences on the text of the bracha, whether the blessing's on hearing or blowing, and even within that, what would be the prefix? A third practical difference. We're familiar with the Gemara in Sukkah, and even if you're not familiar with it, you will be shortly, that the Gemara talks about, well, before that, the Torah talks about Sukkot is coming up, and we know we have a mitzvah of Dalad Minim. We have a mitzvah of the four species. And not only that, the Pasuk says, Lakachtem Lachem. You have to own it. You have to have your own, to you, at least the first day, to fulfill your, and there's a debate about the second day, but the first day for sure, you have to own it to fulfill the mitzvah. So, what?
Sorry, you mean
own
the
suffering,
you mean?
No, the Dalad Minim. It doesn't say Lachem.
Sorry.
Yeah. It doesn't say Lachem by shofar. It says it by the four species. So therefore, in order for me to fulfill my mitzvah, and that'll be a big problem today because who wants to share the four species with Corona? So therefore, because back in the day, usually like, either if you didn't buy your own, so you could, I could give you mine. I'll say here, here's my Dalad Minim. You could own it for the next 30 seconds. You could do your mitzvah and then give it back to me. So the issue is you have to own it. So let's say, you know what? I don't feel like paying for it. And I can't wait for someone to give it to me. You know what? I'm going to steal one. Right? There's a whole bunch of them in the shul in Rabbi Green's office. No one, they're probably not going to use them all anyway. I might as well steal one, right? And a person, let's say, stole one, and now he uses it for the mitzvah. Is it good or not good?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I say it's bad for two reasons. One is, it's a mitzvah brought about by the Rabbah, what do you call that?
Yeah.
But secondly, that's the one thing. Secondly, if I steal it, I don't own it even while it's in my hands. So I haven't done anything.
Well, it depends. That gets into maybe if you steal, maybe the person gave up hope and then maybe you do own it, but that's a separate legal question. We're not going to go into that tonight, but either way, you're right. So you're over two things. Not only are you over stealing, you are definitely over stealing. Let's assume you didn't steal from the shul. You stole it from anywhere. It doesn't make a difference. You stole it from a person. And secondly, you're not going to get the mitzvah either. So you wasted your time. That's what they call a dumb aveira. A dumb aveira is when you don't get any, you know, a smart aveira. You know, you go to, you find a nice, like, rib place, maybe something, some treif that tastes good. I don't know, whatever that might be. And okay, so you eat that. So at least you're definitely you're an avarian, but at least you got something out of it, like at least some taiva. But a dumb avera, to do an avera, you're not getting any benefit. What's the point? You might as well benefit from it. So number one is you definitely violated Geneva, but also it's mitzvah habab avera, that we have a principle. If you accomplish a mitzvah only through the means of a sin, it's a noble. In fact, it just reminds me of a story I heard from one of the Gedolim. I think it was Rav Zilberstein, but I'm not sure. Someone was coming late to shul, and they didn't have anywhere to park, and they were coming late, and I think the only open spot was a handicap spot. And so they pulled into it. They figured, well, he's not, the person would have been here anyway. I'm going to run out right after davening. And he goes and he parks there. No, the handicapped guy didn't show up, by the way. But then after he came out, he felt bad. Like, maybe I did the wrong thing. So I think he went to Rav Zilberstein. He must have went right away because that was the, and he said, he told him what happened. He said, you have to daven mincha over again, he told him. He says, you have to daven again. Your davening wasn't good. Like, what do you mean your davening wasn't good? So it's one thing to say you need maybe do davening again at Tfilas and Davening. But he said, because you know why? Because your davening has a certain power. But because you did something wrong, your davening was capped. So you didn't have the ability to have a successful davening. So either way, the point, you know, whether that's a halachic statement or maybe it's meta halacha, but the point being is you know, like don't violate ben adam lechavero when you're involved in a mitzvah, like Rav Yisrael Solanta used to say, like when you're putting on your talith, be careful you don't throw the fringes in someone else's face behind you. In other words, God doesn't want you doing violating ben adam lechavero when you're doing a mitzvah ben adam lemakom. So either way, so in fact, there was, speaking of this, doing mitzvah ba'avera, there are those, there was a case, I think it was the Maharam Shik, there was a person who used to blow shofar every year, and then he was getting elderly and he had some heart problems. So the doctor told him, you should not blow shofar this year because you're putting yourself in sakana, right? So he didn't listen to the doctor, what else is new?
Right.
And he went ahead and did it. He did a great job. So the Maharam Shik said, maybe everyone has to hear the shofar over again. Because maybe maybe it's a mitzvah ba'avera. You can't endanger your own life in order to go ahead and like do the shofar. Or more recently, during coronavirus, Rav David Cohn from Brooklyn, this again, you have to know the situation. It was a situation where he felt going to shul was a clear danger. This is before mass. He said, whoever goes to shul or makes their own minyan, they have to daven over again. It's a mitzvah haba b'avera. So either way, that may or may not be, what clearly is when you steal a lulav, that's the Gemara, that's a mitzvah haba b'avera. So the question is, what about someone steals a shofar? You know what, I'm looking for a shofar, I can't find one. So I want to hear shofar, so I just steal someone's shofar and I blow. Let's say I blow it for the community or I blow it for myself. Am I yotze with the stolen shofar? A stolen lulav of the Gemara says clearly is a no-go. It's no good. So would a stolen shofar be any different, or a stolen shofar is okay? What would you say?
No good.
No good, yeah, Jeff?
Definitely no good.
Right. That's what I was hoping you would say. I was setting you guys up. So the Rambam writes, shofar ha-gazel yotza. He's not recommending stealing, and if you do steal, you're an avaryan, and you have to do tshuva, or be... maybe you should not make a bracha on it if you stole it. However, he says, yotza, you fulfill your mitzvah of shofar. Why? Because for a very technical reason. Why? She'ain b'kol din gezel. Because what are you stealing? Like, the blowing of the shofar isn't the mitzvah. It's not the object of the shofar. It's the hearing the shofar. So therefore, it's an intangible. You can't steal sound. If someone like steals a tape recorder and plays it, I'm not stealing because I hear this music playing. Like, you could steal an object, but you can't steal something intangible.
Yes.
So the Rambam says he's not recommending it, and he says it's not a good idea. But if someone post, let's say maybe they didn't even know it was stolen, whatever the case might have been. But post facto, they find out that it was a stolen sofa, so then they don't have to, you don't have to hear any more your yotze. However, it could be Rabbeinu Tam will disagree. Rabbeinu Tam holds the mitzvah, the blowing of the shofar, so he holds it's the object, so then that would be like a lulav. So that would be our third practical difference. Number one was, do you make the blessing on blowing the shofar or hearing the shofar? Second one, do I say the prefix Allah? So he said, when it comes to the Rambam hearing, it's Zula. Everyone's doing the mitzvah by themselves, they're hearing, so therefore it's Zula. But for according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Allah because I'm doing a mitzvah for someone else. That's a separate question according to the Rambam. Does everyone else have to make their own bracha now? But that's a separate discussion. And number three is, if I use a stolen shofar on Rosh Hashanah, obviously we're not recommending it, and it's better not to. If I use a stolen shofar in Rosh Hashanah, does it count? According to the Rambam, yes. According, because the mitzvah is only the hearing and you can't steal something intangible, the kol. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it would be a problem and you wouldn't be yotze. Practical difference number four. Number four is, we have a general rule, or it's a general debate in the Gemara, whether mitzvahs, srichas kavana, do mitzvahs require intent? So what do you mean? Do some people say, I don't have to have kavana before I do a mitzvah? No, of course not. This is a post facto legal debate. If I did a mitzvah without the requisite kavana, must I repeat the mitzvah or not? So if your whole mitzvahs require intent, then yes, I must repeat it. Because doing a mitzvah without kavana, in fact, that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. I think Daf Chav Zayin Chav Ches, where it says, if someone's walking by outside, someone's walking by the shul, and they happen to walk out during the, and the windows are open, and they walk by, and the shofar is being blown. So the Gemara says, if you had kavana to hear the kol shofar, you yotze. If not, no. So there's a discussion of mitzvah strichas kavana. So we generally assume on a biblical mitzvah, mitzvah strichas kavana. On a rabbinical mitzvah, we assume post facto, it's good without kavana. So the question is here. So there's a Rabbeinu Yonah which wants to make a distinction. He wants to say, really, generally we pass, it depends on what kind of mitzvah it is. Is it an active mitzvah or is it a passive mitzvah? In other words, really, mitzvahs, srichas kavana, in general. But if I'm shaking the lulav, let's say I'm not thinking about it in my mind, I am doing, but, so why else, unless I have a mental health problem, why am I walking around shaking a lulav? Obviously, I must be shaking a lulav because some part of my mind realizes I'm doing, so it's built in kavana. You know, actions speak louder than words. If I'm shaking a lulav, if I'm eating a good meal, maybe, you know, maybe I'll eat a good meal anyways, and then it wouldn't be proof to anything. But if the, it's clear the only reason I'm, there's no benefit for me, like shaking a lulav, it must be that I'm doing the mitzvah. So Rabbeinu's klal is, really, mitzvahs require intent. But if you're active, you're doing a maisa, so then the maisa speaks for itself, and therefore you yotze. However, if I do something passively, or maybe I don't do something passively because I'm passive, whatever the case may be, so then I'm not yotze unless I have kavana. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's shita. He wants to make a distinction between if I'm actively, when there's a maisa mitzvah, so then the mice is like my kavana, actions speak louder than words. But if I'm not doing anything, if I'm passive, I'm just listening, so then I need kavana, like shofar. So therefore, so perhaps we can make another distinction. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, so if you assume that halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's a mice, a mitzvah blowing, so then even if I didn't have the explicit kavana, my act gives me the kavana, and therefore it's a go. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah's shita, or anyone who holds that shita, according to the Rambam, then maybe if I didn't have any kavana, and the Rambam says explicitly, you need kavana, so you wouldn't be yotze. So it could be, according to the Rambam, mitzvah srichas kavana, not if, Rambam explicitly says you need it, and therefore you need kavana, because the mitzvah is the shmi, I'm being passive, so the only way to show I'm doing a mitzvah is connecting me to the shofar is by having the kavana. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, the act itself connects me, and therefore even if I don't have the explicit, so we've pointed out there's a major machlokas Rishonim, Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam, on whether the mitzvah is primary hearing or blowing. The practical difference are, do I make the bracha? So the Rambam holds it's lishmoa, and Rabbeinu Tam says al tekiya, and he says because the al and the la, the al and the la are different as the prefix for depends on the prefix for if it's la, I'm doing it myself because everyone's hearing, and al is a pre. So, and the other nafkamina is, do I say mitzvah haba b'aveira? Do I say, so according to the Rambam, a shofar, a stolen shofar is good. He's not recommending it, but if you used it, it's a go. And the last one is whether mitzvah strichas kavana. So it's interesting by shofar. Why is it by the mitzvah of shofar? So is according to the Rambam, well, according to what we assume, it's not shomea kaona. According to Reno Tam, it's Shomei Kona, maybe, because you have to be part of the Tekiah. But according to the way we assume, the mitzvah is the hearing. And therefore means every person is doing it themselves. In other words, that we want to show, you know, we're all together. Everyone's listening, you know, differently. Like it says by the Isha Shunamis that when she was asked by the Navi, is there anything I could do for you? And it was Rosh Hashanah. Like, Atani Tzavim Hayom Kuchem. The Hayom means, every time it says Hayom, the Zohar says, or the Arizal, it's referring to Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Haras Olam. So on Rosh Hashanah, she asked the Navi, what could I do for you? You have any parking tickets you got to get rid of? Any other income tax you want me to work out for you? Any bills? She said, no, the only thing I want, Besoch Ami Anochi Yosheves. I want to dwell among the nation. I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. What she meant to say is, who on their own could be judged favorably, but if we're judged together with the Klal, then we have a chance. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to always say, all year round, but especially this time period, you should try to be an individual with the tzibor relies on you. And therefore, even though you don't deserve it on your own, but nevertheless, on your in the merit of everyone else, you will do it. And that's how they explain it. That's why the shofar is, it's the unifying force, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, and that's why, especially on shofar, we do it all together, but everyone hears it together. You know, everyone in the shul is doing the mitzvah on one hand on their own, but they're doing it together with everybody else. Very good. Henry's joining us.